Virgin Most Powerful Radio is pleased to present Church of the Masses with award-winning Catholic columnist, screenwriter, and media consultant, Barbara Nicolosi.
Hello, welcome to Church of the Masses. This is the show where we talk about the intersection of faith and culture. We talk about any news of interest to people of faith that is in the media or culture, television, movies, books, whatever. So my background is that I've worked in Hollywood for 23 years as a screenwriter and a producer, project consultant, and script doctor, many things like that. And I was also a daughter of St. Paul. So I was with the nuns whose media apostolate is their thing in the church. So I was with them for 9 years before coming to Hollywood. And so kind of a weird polyglot here of a devout Catholic who really loves the church and believes all of it, and married to somebody who is very conversant with Hollywood storytelling and loves Hollywood storytelling. And so that's my shtick. And so welcome. We're happy to have you join us. So today is going to be a lot about unplanned, and the abortion issue is going to be a lot of what we're talking about today, because I'm going to be talking to Robia Scott, who's one of the stars of the movie Unplanned. We're going to be talking about the DVD release, and also kind of just like a wow, looking back at where Unplanned has come and been in this summer. And then also, I'm going to be reviewing the movie One Child Nation, which is a documentary that is going to be released on Amazon very shortly. It's playing in limited release right now in New York and L.A. for its Academy Award consideration. It's a documentary about the one-child policy in China by a Chinese young woman who's living in the United States, but she grew up in China. So I saw that last week. It's been haunting me ever since. So I thought we would talk about that in the last segment. So good. So kind of just jumping right in, news of the day. So the first news I want to say is that the Unplanned movie is on DVD now, and there is the affiliate program of the that they're offering to ministries, to churches, to pro-life ministries. And basically what this does is it allows people who have these ministries to share in promoting the DVD and then getting a share of the revenue from the sale of the DVD, which can go back into their ministry. So check out the Unplanned affiliate program and see about getting your ministry on board. It's an amazing idea. It's a great way to pump resources into various church and faith-based and pro-life ministries. And then also, though, it will help to just get the word out about the DVD. We have to have as many people see this DVD as we possibly can, because we know how powerful it is. So more about that later. But so another thing in the news this week is very funny, I think. I'm sorry, the way the 21st century is you just have to laugh at how absolutely ridiculous so much of being a 21st century person is. So this week's is that IMDb has a birth name policy, which has been attacked now by the transgender movement. So what does that mean? Okay, IMDb, called the Internet Movie Database, it is the place, imdb.com, that records every project on that's real in any sense of television, in the movies, short films, anything at all that that has been produced, people have been paid for. So one of the things you do right away in Hollywood when you have a meeting with somebody is you go to their IMDb page to see, well, what have they done? Who have they worked with? What kind of projects have they put out there? So imdb.com is, you know, the place for everybody's credits to be listed. Well, their policy up to now has been that they would list credits according to – you only get one name in IMDb, and it's your birth name. Whatever you have in your birth certificate is the name that you get your credits by in IMDb. Well, so the transgender movement has found out about this and kind of exploded in rage now, and so – IMDb is stuck in this weird place of how do we credit people whose name was, you know, Mary Smith and now is, you know, I don't know, Anteater, you know, some kind of strange new thing that is a non-gender, non-binary. A lot of times they don't have last names. You know, it's a crazy, crazy world we're living in. So IMDb, like, falling all over themselves as the kind of consummate Hollywood entity, realized that they had stepped in it with their policy. And so they're trying to come up with, well, how do we award credits when people have had two names, you know, and how do we keep track of, well, they were credited as Joe Schmo on this project, but now they're, you know, Bethany, whatever. And so what do we do? How do we keep track of that? So, anyway, they're promising they're going to find a way to do this that is going to please everyone and all please all the crazies. But, I noticed there was a headline today, GLAAD, which is, holds the whole industry in thrall. This is the gay lesbian, alliance against, defamation. And they for years have held Hollywood by the throat. GLAAD gets a look at all of the scripts to make sure they are, you know, that they pass muster as far as the LGBTQ agenda. But anyway, so GLAAD said in a statement today that their IMDb's new policy remains imperfect and that there is more work to do, but they are giving them a little bit of breathing room. Craziness, absolute insanity. You know, I think from a Christian standpoint, there's something beautiful about names. We know this in the scriptures that God brought the animals to Adam and Adam named them, that Adam had the ability to give the perfect name to all of the animals. He understood their role in creation. And so names, you know, you have the beautiful story of Jacob wrestling with God, you know, tell me your name. And this idea of Jesus's name being given to him, names are ours for eternity. You know, that God allows our parents to name us, and then that becomes our name for eternity. So that this generation now is like, with everything else, there's nothing sacred here. Throw it out, name yourself something else, you know, cut off your parts, take some drugs, and you can completely change your identity in every aspect. There is nothing sacred anymore. I think that's very sad, but it's sad and funny the way the left is trying so hard to be politically correct, but they can't help but step in all the prescriptions that are constantly unfolding. So I mentioned this a few weeks ago. Another one that's kind of out there right now is the Emmy Awards. The Emmy Awards are coming up, and the people who are putting on the show haven't chosen a host yet. And they haven't chosen a host because they're afraid if they pick someone that that person is going to have something in their background that would come back and make the Emmys have to back out. So an example is just a couple days ago, Sarah Silverman, a picture came out of Sarah Silverman, the consummate far left, a radical progressive comedian in blackface. So apparently she did a skit years ago when it was reckoned funny, and she appeared in blackface. And this has come out now. And what I love is that Sarah Silverman didn't come out with it herself. She had to know she had done this, but she's been chewing off her fingernails, I'm sure, hoping that no one was ever going to find it. And yet somebody did. Everything lives forever now in the media. And so now she's like falling all over herself to apologize, and people are cutting her, you know, stations are cutting her, et cetera, because she did this thing. And here we are. So that's, you know, going on with the Emmys. Everybody's afraid to pick anybody as a host because maybe they did something at some point that was embarrassing. You know, this problem of looking back at people's pasts with through the lens of the current moment and the current moment's tolerances and intolerances, and saying, you know, you didn't pass muster 20 years ago with what we think now. I don't know where this goes, but it's a vile thing. It's a vile thing to impose on the past the prescriptions of the present, especially if the present is insane. And a lot of this stuff is insane. You just can't keep up with it, of what is going to be a problem and what isn't. I had someone confront me. I had an interview at Catholic U this earlier in the spring, and I had written a parody with friends of mine of the song Imagine, which I absolutely detest, the John Lennon song. I've always hated that song. And anyway, at the end, I had the line, whatever happens, at least we'll have our guns, you know. And I had this thrown in my face, 7 years later. And I had one of the very, very progressive professors in the art school at Catholic U say to me, "I don't think guns are funny at all." You know, and I looked at her and I was like, well, maybe they're not now, but, 5 minutes ago they were funny. And, how could I possibly have known, 7 or 8 years ago that I was going to have to stand up to the sensibilities of this moment now, you know? So, I think that, I'm hoping that this stuff is going to eat itself, because, Sarah Silverman is just the latest victim of political correctness to go down. All right, stay tuned. We're going to be talking to people from Unplanned and talking about the DVD release, just kind of looking back at this phenomenal movie and what it's done this summer. My name is Barbara Nicolosi. This is Church of the Masses on the Virgin Most Powerful Radio Network.
Welcome to our January 11th, 2020 Spiritual Warfare Conference. Every year without fail, this is our most popular, well-attended event. This year's Spiritual Warfare Conference will host Adam Bly, a Catholic demonologist and an auxiliary member of the International Association of Exorcists, along with Dr. Luis Sandoval, a psychiatrist who's part of the Healing, Deliverance, and Exorcism team for the Diocese of Orange. These two gentlemen bring tons of experience and expertise in the area of spiritual warfare. This is going to be a high-information Catholic seminar. I'll be there as well, sharing some riveting stories on the diabolical and liberation found through Jesus Christ from my best-selling book, The Devil in the City of Angels. Mark your calendars, come and join us, and meet other radio hosts from Jesus 911. Contrary to popular belief, spiritual warfare is not demon-centered. It's Christ-centered. Come join us and learn how to armor up and fight the good fight of faith. Catholics, wake up. Don't hit the snooze button. Join us at St. Christopher Catholic Church, 629 South Glendora Avenue, Escovina, California, on January 11, 2020. See you then. Strength and honor in Jesus' name.
Jesus said to the apostles in Luke chapter 10, "Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me." According to St. Boniface, in her voyage across the ocean of this world, the church is like a great ship being pounded by the waves of life's different stresses. Our duty is not to abandon ship, but to keep her on course. May our Lord help us remain ever faithful to His church, to aid and defend her.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Church of the Masses with Barbara Nicolosi.
Hello again. Welcome back. And so we're celebrating Unplanned's release on DVD. And I'm very happy to have one of the actors from Unplanned with us, Robia Scott. Hi, Robia. How are you?
Hi, I'm great. Well, thanks for having me on.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited to have you. Chuck and Carrie, I wrote them, and I said, yeah, how can we celebrate this? And I said, can we get one of the actors? And they're like, yeah, we'll get Ruby for you. So I'm really happy to have you. So welcome to our station. And so, yeah, my gosh, you know, I'm sitting here looking at Box Office Mojo, and, you know, the movie's at $18,988,000 domestic. Foreign, we're never sure what that's going to be because it's such kind of an interesting tangled web there. But that's quite incredible. You know, Rabia, when you got involved in this, did you ever think it was going to become what it became?
You know, I did actually. I did. I had been retired from the entertainment industry for about 15 years. I started as a teenager and I traveled the world. I danced with Prince. I was on different TV shows like Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I became a Christian and totally walked away from Hollywood and have been in ministry ever since. No intention of going back to Hollywood. And then this movie came around. I was randomly introduced to Chuck and Carrie, the writers, directors. Mm-hmm. And they asked me to audition, and you know, I saw the script, and I just knew. I knew it was a, for such a time as this story. Mm-hmm. I felt that God told me, you know, He prepared me for such a time as this. Yeah. And I think most of us, when we were on set, you know, we knew we were doing something bigger than ourselves, mm-hmm. and we were excited to see how God was going to use the film to shift culture. And what's so interesting, Barbara, is that when we were filming this, you know, a year or so ago, mm-hmm. none of what is happening now in our in our society was happening
right.
then.
Yeah.
You know, the bill in New York hadn't passed. Mm-hmm. You know, abortion was not where it is now as this topic that is just on the forefront. I mean, God has His hand on this topic. So, yeah, I did expect it to do incredible. And I think really we're just getting started.
Wow.
I think the DVD today is going to bring a whole nother wave. Mm-hmm. And as you stated, we're going international. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just the beginning, actually.
Yeah. You know, it's again, it's such a, I gave notes on the screenplay, you know, again, more than a year ago. And I remember thinking, imagine if this could take hold, you know, and here it is, you know, it became, it's really a movie to movement kind of thing. So now you play in the movie, the face of Planned Parenthood, right? You play, that's a tough, tough character to play. And yet, you know, yet you made her understandable. And I know that that's important for Abby. You know, Abby's whole ministry is to not demonize people that are in the abortion movement, to try to reach out to them and find a way to help them see what they're doing in a different light. And, you know, so I think your character never descended into kind of some kind of demonic, we can't, you know, relate to this person. I think you kept her very relatable. So good chops to you. But how did you kind of get into playing that kind of mindset? How did you prepare for that?
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate you saying that. I love that about the movie. I think that they showed some pro-life people as a little bit radical and, you know, not a great representation of what pro-life really is. And I think they showed, you know, some pro-choice workers in the abortion clinic as really wonderful people. So I think they, you know, they ran the gamut with all the the personas. I mean, mine was definitely my character, the head of Planned Parenthood, you know, was a little stronger than everyone else on screen. I was a bit hesitant at first to play that character because, you know, all the time I was in Hollywood, I was not a believer. Mm-hmm. And now here I am brought back by God and thinking, oh, great, I'm going to play some beautiful preacher character that's praying all the time. And I read Cheryl and I think, oh, goodness, really? This is what I have to do. But
thank God, you know, God prepared you with all your experience so that He could bring in, because in the wrong hands, it would have felt very artificial, I think, that character. And I think
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I wanted to make her, you know, real and just very driven, you know, very driven with the same passion that I do women's ministry. I kind of tapped into that passion for her stance on women's rights and, you know, and really drove that. Mm-hmm. And I just played her as, you know, she was really written that way, very direct, very business minded, you know, not as emotional and compassionate as I am personally. Mm-hmm. So I really kind of tried to turn down the compassion and I turned up the passion. And and that's what you saw on screen.
Great. You know, so give me, you know, one story from these last few months that has just sticks out in your mind, you know, as this movie's kind of took hold, became a movement, you know, anything kind of stand out for you, somebody you met, anything you heard that is going to crystallize this summer for you, the summer of unplanned kind of just like splashed onto the landscape?
Oh, my goodness. There really are so many stories. We all have been touched by people's responses. I would say hearing that pro-choice people that were adamant pro-choice that went into the movie, that the movie challenged them. And, you know, maybe they didn't jump ship to the pro-life side completely, but they were challenged enough that they're going to start researching. You know, that has been really powerful. And for me personally, at churches where I've been speaking, I have had encounters with women that have approached me and said, you know, I'm pregnant right now. This is my situation. I was really planning on going to have an abortion. And now that I've heard you speak and I've seen some clips of the movie, this was before the movie even came out. They made the decision not to go through with it. And we've had countless stories of women who have seen the movie and have chosen not to go through with abortion. And then women who have had abortion in the past receive a lot of healing and be able to really let go of the shame and to grab onto the redemptive, you know, quality of God and move forward because of the movie. So that's been extraordinary.
Wow. You know, and so now we're in this, you know, really kind of encouraging people to buy the movie, you know, this amazing kind of brilliant affiliate plan to help pro-life ministries, especially, but churches, other ministries to, you know, promote the movie and then get a share of the revenue from the sales. You know, what would you say is like how to invite somebody if in your life, you know, if somebody's out there, they have somebody in their life who's pro-choice, how would you kind of invite them to sit down and watch Unplanned?
Well, my take is that regardless of what you believe, you know, if you're adamant that you're pro-choice, that's okay. You know, great. Let's watch this movie. It really reflects both sides. It reflects the pro-choice side, the pro-life side, and then let's have a discussion about it. You know, I want to hear your point of view. You can hear my point of view. I just, you know, this is a true story, and it's a powerful story. It's an emotional story. It's an engaging story. And, you know, I'd like to watch it with you. I really do think this is the time where for all of us as believers, as, you know, those that are church leaders to you know, get on board with the DVD, because so many people still have not seen the movie or encountered the movie. So I think it's just a great opportunity now for, as I said, the next wave of America to be turned on to this story.
Yeah. I mean, so what would we hope for here? Like every church holding screenings?
Yeah.
You know, like we're having our unplanned screening and discussion, and we're going to do it a couple times, you know, different times in case people miss it. You know, that would be one thing that we could hope for to happen here. I mean, definitely, it seems to me, the Christian schools. Now, one of the issues is I had this in the school where I teach. It's like, well, it's R-rated. We don't show R-rated movies. I was like, well, we showed The Passion of the Christ. And it's like, well, that one's different. And it's like, why is it different? Right? You know, I want to know. But, you know, I told them The Passion of the Violence in The Passion of the Christ far exceeds anything that is going to be in this movie. But, you know, so that R rating, it's interesting. I remember when we found out that we got it, I had told them when I read the script, they're going to give you an R rating. And they're like, no, they won't. And then we did, you know, they got it. And but it's been a kind of a mixed blessing for the film, hasn't it? Because it allowed a PR rollout that, you know, they were able to talk about the movie in terms of the R rating that had been given.
True. It's like the scripture with the enemy means for harm, God will use for good.
We'll use for good. Exactly.
Yeah.
So,
yes, he has tried to block this movie at every turn, but yes, you know, in some ways we shouldn't have gotten an R rating because there's four criteria for R's. It's sexuality, nudity, foul language, and violence. And we don't have sexuality, nudity, or foul language. But the Motion Picture Association did deem some of the scenes as extreme violence. But this is where I would just want people to be educated. I want parents to be educated, church leaders to be educated, because this is not your typical R-rated movie. This isn't the kind of imagery on screen that we want to protect our kids from, that we want to protect our own soul and spirit from. This is truth on the screen that you need to see.
Very good.
Just
I mean,
like The Passion.
Yeah.
Like The Passion.
There's
it's
nothing gratuitous
when you see it with
here.
Your eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know the story. You know the story of Christ. But when you see it, it just impacts you in a whole nother way. And it's the same thing with this story. A lot of us are familiar with abortion now because it's on the forefront topic in America.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But when you see, when you get when the veil is lifted into the clinic and you see some of the things that are going on, you will not be the same. So, right. You know, challenge out for everybody. Don't let the R rating stop you. Right. Parents, watch it first. Mm-hmm. Church leaders, watch it first. Mm-hmm. And you'll see what we're talking about.
Very good. So, so youth groups, definitely universities. I'm going to be pushing this at my university this fall, so to have a screening and a discussion there. Yeah, I mean, any other venues, you know, that we can think of that you could get it in there. If you have a group, if you have a constituency, get the unplanned DVD and come on, let's use this tool that we know works and use the rollout now to just kind of have a whole new impact of this. And I don't think it's an accident either that, so I don't know, I'm going to be reviewing the movie One Child Nation in the next segment. Have you seen this project yet, Robia?
I haven't seen it.
Okay, it's a doc that played at Sundance, and it's about the one-child policy in China. And even though the person who made it is pro-choice, the whole thing is about the horror of abortion in China over the last 40, 50 years. And so it's very interesting because it won at Sundance. It's going to get Academy Award consideration, and you're going to have that out there too. And they're trying very hard to kind of say, well, you know, this is about forcing women to have abortions, you know, but the fact is it's about abortion, and abortion is a horrifying thing. And so
I think it's interesting that God is using every angle right now to come at this issue, you know, and to try to make it palatable for people that maybe, you know, would have bias against unplanned, which it's horrible that they do because it's such a fantastic movie. But that is interesting that he's coming from a different angle, kind of back door on this issue from a different perspective.
Absolutely. And I know, you know, my students, my college students, they've grown up with ultrasound images of their brothers and sisters and nephews and nieces on the refrigerator. You know, it's really hard to tell them that's not a person. It's not a baby, you know. I mean, what do you think? You know, my sense of the movie is that this is a story of someone who is just kind of willfully lying to herself, you know, for so many years, just not wanting to think too much about what was going on. How are we going to get out of this as a nation? Because I think that's a metaphor for the whole nation.
Wow, I never really even thought of it from that angle, that she really did know what she was doing and she just didn't really want to be honest with herself. Mm-hmm. My take on it is that a lot of the nation is just ignorant of the truth because television programming and media has done such a great job at what they do, which is programming us as a society as to what to believe. And, you know, the programming is so one-sided. It's such a liberal perspective that, you know, the average Christian that I've encountered doesn't really know who Planned Parenthood is. They don't really realize just how abortion-focused they are, because they bought into all the rhetoric of, you know, women's rights and, oh, it's only a small percentage of what we do and we try not to go that direction. And, you know, that's what's being said on social media. That's what's being said.
And I'm so sorry, I got to cut you off, but we have to head into a break right now. But Robia, thank you so much for being with us. Thank you for being part of this movie. And we're going to be watching the rollout of the DVD and doing everything we can to keep it going here. Thank you so much. God bless
you. Thanks, Barbara.
All right. God bless. Take care.
Welcome, Daniel. You're on the line. What's on your mind, brother?
Hi, I just wanted to share a testimony about Virgin Most Powerful Radio. I had a buddy at work who, you know, he's a lukewarm Catholic guy, and I wanted him to start listening to the Terry and Jesse show, so I kept telling him to download the app, and he kept putting me off. So one day, I grabbed his phone, and I downloaded the app for him. I went on vacation, and, you know, I kept telling him to listen to it. He was kind of put me off. I came back from vacation. He comes to my cubicle and he says to me, "Hey, man, I've been listening to Terry and Justin's show and it's great. And it's made a big impact in his life." The guy, he's going to weekly adoration a couple times a week. He goes to the mass in the morning. Mm-hmm. He's an on fire Catholic, and he promotes the Terry and Jesse Show and the Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Wow. Daniel, what a testimony. And I want to encourage our listeners to get those cards by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org and do what Daniel's doing. Go out and spread the faith by inviting people to listen to Virgin Most Powerful. Daniel, thanks for your testimony, brother. God love you.
You're welcome.
Hi, this is Eddie Chavez, host of Jesus 911. I want to take this opportunity to let you, our listeners, know about an event being held here at the Sacred Heart Chapel in Covina. We will be celebrating the Feast of St. Michael the Archangel on September 28th, 2019, beginning at 9 o'clock with Mass in the morning and talks to follow. Ruben Nava and myself will be speaking, so come and hear us talk about St. Michael and Our Lady. Come join us, and we'll see you there.
Now, back to Church of the Masses with Barbara Nicolosi.
Hello, welcome back to Church of the Masses. This is Barbara Nicolosi on the Virgin Most Powerful Radio Network. Excuse some of the technical glitches, all my fault here. So, still learning how to do this radio thing. So this segment, I'm going to review this movie, One Child Nation. And while I'm talking, I think everybody should go to Amazon and look up One Child Nation and then sign up to receive, to watch it as soon as stream it, as soon as it's available, or get the DVD, etc. This is a must-watch movie. It's a documentary that played at Sundance and did very well, and really was kind of all the talk of the documentary scene at Sundance. And now it's got a release. Amazon Studios picked it up, and so it's going to get it's got its limited theatrical release happening right now. I watched it in L.A. and Santa Monica last week, and so it's playing. It's mandatory. It has to, in order to be considered for the Oscar, a documentary has to play in New York and Los Angeles for 7 days. So they're getting their theatrical. Probably won't get much more of a theatrical release, so don't wait for it that way, but go right to Amazon. And of course, Amazon doesn't care about theatrical anyway. They want to get you to stream it. So, but everybody should. One Child Nation. Okay, so what is this project? It is the story of the one child policy in China that had been going on from the late 70s. Until, I guess, 2015, I believe, is when they finally said, oh, no, we can't, we have to stop this. The filmmaker, her name is Nanfu Wang. She was born in China but and grew up there in rural China and then left and came to the United States and then went to film school. And so this movie is... this documentary is her account of her family mainly. And the reason it's mainly her family living under the one-child policy is because she was scared if she moved beyond her family that the government would come after her. And in fact, it's very interesting. She and her co-producer on the project, there's a great article on Vox.com on the making of the movie, an interview with her. And they created, because they were so afraid that the government in China was going to come after them while they were making this documentary, that they set up emergency plans if they lost touch with each other for 2 hours, 3 hours, or 12 hours. And in each situation, they had a response, a list of on-the-ground people who could help if anything happened and how if the situation escalated, institutions and funders in the U.S. that were prepared to step in if the government tried to arrest them. This is the reality of socialism writ large through, through communism, which is just socialism at the end of the gun, as I think Lenin said. So the story here is of many things. This documentary is about many things. One of them is about propaganda and how propaganda only works if there is something in people that want to believe propaganda, that there's something there. So when you think back to the Nazi propaganda before the Second World War, the German people wanted to hear that the Jews were greedy and undeserving of their wealth, right? The Jews were very talented, in many cases been very successful, and so you had people who were jealous of them, and so they were amenable to a propaganda campaign which said the Jews are actually criminal. They've taken their ill-gotten means. So the propaganda in this movie is so much a story of how the Chinese people were given some different lines of propaganda. So one is one of the ways the one-child policy was sold to the people was, if we don't do this, if you don't kill off your children, then and sterilize yourself, then you're not going to have nice things. And so there was a whole wave of propaganda which was geared towards playing to people's instinct to be selfish. Another one was China nationalism, that China can't be great if we're all cannibalizing ourselves. And so the children now are the enemy who will force us to cannibalize ourselves. So it's kind of a weird nationalistic appeal there, but also, again, a fear thing. If I don't kill my child, there won't be enough for me. So that whole interesting thing about propaganda and why people believe it, and it's so ridiculous that she documents so much of the propaganda, and it's just so hokey and stupid. And yet, over and over in the movie, after people tell their harrowing stories of how their children were killed, how they were compelled to have abortions and sterilizations and forced to have their children trafficked away from them and stolen, they will still look in the camera and say, but it was a good thing, it was necessary, because otherwise we all would have died, right? We would have cannibalized ourselves. Fascinating. So we owe this Nanfu Wong a tremendous debt of gratitude for bringing this story. It's a very personal story. She interviews her mother, her aunt, people in her village, and hears people excusing the horrors of forced abortion and then the terrible, especially you have the women, the girl children being thrown out on. It reminds you of something that you heard about ancient Greece. They would expose the daughters or the weak, and that was what's going on in China. And so there are photos in this that are very hard to see of fully formed, 8-9 month, fully term babies who have been put on the garbage heaps all over China. And so very, very powerful. The bigger question is, what is going on in abortion? And the funny thing about the doc is that the maker of the doc is pro-choice, which is like mind-blowing to me. How can she hold that line? But she says that that she is against any restriction on a woman doing what she wants with her body. So she says, in the United States, we're trying to restrict women from using their body, by preventing abortion. In China, they were forcing women to do what they wanted with their body. And that's the problem. It's the forcing women to do with their body. But meanwhile, she has all of this documentary evidence of these babies everywhere. And one of the most compelling parts of the documentary is an abortionist who worked for the government for 30, 40 years. And she admits on this camera that she did 50 or 60,000 abortions. So now she's working only to have infertile couples have babies and work with infertility. And she said a monk told her, for every baby that you can bring to life through your fertility treatments, 100 babies that you killed you'll be absolved for. And she tells the story of riddled with guilt and horror of what she did and how she violated herself and so many other people for the government. So it's kind of hard to ignore, this issue of, well, what were those things? Why does this woman feel guilt if it really is just a choice, if it's only about choice? Why does she feel guilt? So I don't think the filmmaker's being completely honest, but if she had, let's face it, the movie would never have played at Sundance. She never would have gotten a hearing there. And what's interesting to watch is how ambivalent the progressive left-wing media is about this project. Read the reviews. They're praising the project. At the same time, they're very nervous because they don't want to say that those things are actually human beings, those babies that were killed in abortion. They don't want to say that. So it's very, again, the stupidity of the 21st century. We're supposed to pretend we're all dumb to go along with the moment. Well, I'm not a party to that. I'm not going to be part of that. So the movie is One Child Nation, and I really, I'm really high on it. I think everybody needs to go see it. Now, the question is, what about kids? It's got an R rating, which is tough. It's got an R rating because there are shots of aborted children throughout the movie. But to tell you the truth, as bad as those are, they're not the most impressive to me. They weren't the most impressive parts of the movie. The most impressive part of the movie is kind of the last third, which deals with all of the children from China who were trafficked to the United States. Now, not sex trafficked necessarily, although that they imply that that was going on too, but they were sold through adoption. Now, we all know families all around us who have little Chinese babies that they've raised, right? There was a period where Chinese adoptions were the way to go. If you couldn't have a kid, go to China. They'll give babies away for free. And what was going on in the documentary brings this out is that if a family had already had a child and they had another one, then the state would confiscate the new one and then sell it to the United States, the persons from the United States, for as much as $25,000, and that the Americans were only too happy to pay these prices. And so initially they were killing the babies, but then at a certain point communism figured out, oh, wow, we can actually make money off the West with these. And so they sold their children. So you say it's just as bad, right, you know, as killing your own, and they sold their own. And so this corrupt thing of the government and the police stealing children from the poor and the far-flung villages, making up a biography for them and then selling them to the United States. So the ramifications of this for people watching this in the United States are absolutely heartrending, because I know two families that have Chinese daughters who they adopted from China, thinking that the girls were orphans. And this documentary absolutely rips the skin off of that and says, no, these kids were not orphans. They were deliberately stolen from the poor families. And so one of the things that we see here is it reminded me of a line from Flannery O'Connor watching this movie, where she said, you know, compassion married to without Christ always ends up in the gas chamber. And so this was China figuring out, oh, we're going to be a compassionate society. We're going to solve our problems. And this is how we're going to do it, the one-child policy. And it is a disaster. It is a brutal, brutal disaster. And it's hard to imagine the people of China ever recovering. So the documentary is One Child Nation. Please, everybody go to Amazon and stream this movie or buy the DVD. It's a must-see for this moment. It shows how evil, evil government, godless government can be, and how people can be so susceptible to the lies of propaganda of their own society. So go see One Child Nation on Amazon. But thank you very much for tuning in. My name is Barbara Nicolosi, and this is Church of the Masses. And this is where we talk about the intersection of faith and culture on the Virgin Most Powerful Radio Network. Don't forget the Women's Conference coming up September 7th. Check it out on the Virgin Most Powerful Radio Network website.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to Thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou Thyself maintain them in holiness. O Divine and Great High Priest, may the power of Thy mercy accompany them everywhere, and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of Thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For Thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin Most Powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.